This is the Ask Amberlee Show.
Welcome to the Ask Amberlee Show. Clay Carter, brother from another mother. Okay. I have some questions for you. First question. What's something in your family you picked up and do today that makes you happier and healthier?
I think rest and relaxation time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I think because we're all always on the go and life is stressful. I think I've really leaned in as I've gotten older to just silent moments, sitting on the couch, watching a good movie, making some popcorn. It's very grounding.
Yeah, that's true.
And I really appreciate those moments. I think it's the present moments.
Mm-hmm.
When life slows down a bit, you know, in between all the chaos.
Yeah.
So for me, that has been the grounding effect.
Yes.
Of that time spent together has been really healing for me.
It's true. I feel that way too. That is interesting.
And I feel like you guys, you know, particularly, I lean in more to that when I go home to New Orleans, into that. And so that's been really, really nice.
Yeah.
The last couple of years.
That's true. I like that.
I kind of carry that over here too.
Yes, you do. That's why, I mean, living at the beach is so healing anyway.
Yeah.
But having a nice, like, restful respite at home too is, I really appreciate being here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Has anyone in your family lived to be an old age, like closer to 100? If so, what do you think was their secret or helped them live longer?
She's mean as hell.
That's so true. That's so funny. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Stubborn and mean as hell. What is she, 93, 94?
Yeah, I think so. 1933.
Yeah.
So it's 2025, so...
I'm math in the math, but yes.
Yeah.
I think like 93 years, something like that. I wish I could say it was healthy habits.
That's my point. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
It's like it's never the healthiest thing that you think.
No.
It's not like the green juices, the, you know, exercise, whatever. Like, she does none of that.
I think she eats a lot of TV dinners.
I know.
A lot of Hungry Man's.
Yeah, and like soda and just...
All the processed stuff, all the sugar.
It's crazy.
She's been dying since the day she was born, is what she told me.
That's so funny.
I know she spends a lot. Now, she doesn't watch TV or do any of that stuff,
yeah.
So maybe she's impervious to like all the chaos and the news and stuff.
Yeah.
I know she spends a lot of time sitting on the porch, and I'll say, well, so what do you do on the porch? You reading a book? You listening? You talking French? Nope. Just watching the birds.
Yep.
Watching the animals.
It's so true.
For hours.
Yeah.
For hours.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something about being present.
I know. Well, exactly. It's so interesting. Because even on, so my mom's side of the family, she had relatives who lived closer to 100. And she actually said the same thing. She said they sat on the porch a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. But and I asked her, I was like, what do you think was their secret? And she said, being content. And like, like just the present moment's enough.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Just energetically, I think, to your point, not getting caught up in all the chaos. I mean, I know I'm guilty of waking up, I did it today, and I'm ashamed, and like looking for that dopamine hit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of have my routine of like, okay, what's the weather first? And then going through a few things, and I'm like, okay, what's BBC got on? And then, you know, what's the stock market doing? And all of a sudden, your cortisol level's on. And then you kind of trigger that dopamine for the rest of the day. And I was like, well, maybe I should get on Instagram. Well, check Facebook. Or what about LinkedIn? Or, or I'm going to look at some real estate. Yeah, just like your brain started. And I'm like, no, shut it down.
It's so true. Gosh, we're all guilty of that.
I think taking the first hour of the day is important to not do that. I'm trying to get better at it.
Yeah.
Or I catch it really quickly. I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. Maybe we should start sitting on the porch.
Maybe I should watch my news, read my news on the porch.
Yeah, I know. It's so true because we always are like, the Mediterranean diet is the secret, you know, but it's like when you, if you mentally go into it thinking, I'm going to do the Mediterranean diet and this is going to work to get me healthier, it doesn't work because mentally it's the mentality behind everything that you do, right?
The intent.
It's not exactly the diet itself.
Yeah.
It's their Mediterranean lifestyle as a whole.
Yeah.
The way they think, the way they rest, and socialize everything.
Well, is that kind of what I guess goes along with the terms of the French paradox and all that is like, well, they drink wine and they eat, you know, fatty meats and processed meats and all that in Italy as well, right? In other places. And I think what people miss, to your point, is I think it's because it's communal time. Like when we drink or do things like that or eat processed stuff, it seems to be more like we're on the go, we're hurry, we're rushed. We're drinking because we've had a rough day and we're trying to unwind. So we're in a stress, chronic stress inflammation mode when we're drinking.
Yeah.
Alcohol, for instance.
Right.
And it seems like, though, when you're doing that with friends and family around a dinner table like they do in European countries, that it actually takes the level. It kind of counteracts whatever maybe toxins that alcohol have in it.
Yeah.
Because you're changing the intention of how you're utilizing the vehicle, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. So. I know.
I agree with you. I think it's a mindset.
Yeah. Learning that more and more. Okay. Do you have anything in your life that you do behind the scenes for your health that you don't talk about?
You know, recently starting to play guitar again, that's kind of a private moment. I think it's you're engaging in the present, being present again, going back to that theme. I think it's nice because the beauty of music and the vibration of the energy, but also learning something. But even if I'm just strumming or along, there's something very cathartic and relaxing about the melodies and kind of just being lost in the moment. And I think it takes your mind away from whatever is going on. So anything to really be present, you know, and then to be trendy, you know, cold plunge and all the things, all the health hacks. But I think I'm learning now to be more present and slow in or intentional, not slow in my day. So I've been doing a lot more of that in reading, you know, getting in and just kind of quieting the mind. I mean, I meditate and do stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the guitar is probably my most private. Just I play for myself. I'm not really playing for anybody else. And it doesn't matter what I'm playing. Drum noodle around and maybe learn a song or, you know,
I like that. That's good. I like it. Okay, so what is something you do in your life that makes you feel better? It could be like paying your bills or smiling at yourself in the mirror or eating a cheeseburger once a week or whatever it is. Like, what's something you do in your life that just makes you feel better?
I think secretly dancing in the morning or...
That's something you didn't talk about.
When I get my music going, like last night we were talking about those songs. I mean, I like to get up and just kind of dance around the bed while I'm making the bed in the house while I'm brushing my teeth and kind of get the body moving. It's just fun and goofy and it's just me. So God forbid if there was a camera, a hidden camera around.
I need to do that now.
Yeah. So that's fun.
I love that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's cute. I like that. Have you ever been to a destination or even a business or a place that you feel has helped you change your outlook on life?
I think for me, spending some time in Italy, really in the countryside or Lake Como or Umbria or Spello or some of those other areas, it's really, it slows you down. Again, we're going back to the theme of being present. And in the moment where, you know, you're not distracted by all of the media outlets and billboards and all the stuff. And you see how people interact there and how they're very intentional. And I don't, slow is not the right word, but intentional is probably a better word. And how community is a big, big deal. And I think that's the big thing that I've learned, particularly over the last 3 years, as I've gone through a lot of transition, is the community you build around you, the time spent with that community, people reaching out. So it's a lot of mental health aspects that I think we negate as a species because, you know, it's we're kind of taught to hide, you know, if we're stressed or not share our feelings. And I think even more so for men, it can be a problem.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of really interesting cathartic conversations with other like-minded people who kind of don't feel like they have people they can talk to.
Yeah.
That they have a safe space. And so I think I love 30A here, you know, Santa Rosa Beach, because there just seems to be a lot of community of outside of the tourists, of people here who are like-minded. A lot of people are entrepreneurs or type A, and they're seeking solace, you know, solace in a place where they can connect with the ocean and the energy here. And the people, and I think a lot of the people here are very appreciative and grateful to be here, and they're very open, and I think there's a sense of community that I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel connected and like you're contributing towards something. And so that's that old school village mentality, I guess, or tribal mentality, which I've always considered myself a bit of a lone wolf, but I realized that, you know, I need that connection too.
Yeah.
But going back to the Italy thing, I think just... You get off the plane, you're still like in your dopamine mode, and then it's just you're forced to slow down once you get into the countryside, and you just see how we're in a hurry to do nothing most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like we've had this artificial hurry of, I got to do this, I got to be this. And it's really just distraction.
Yeah.
And it's not something we really have to do.
Yeah.
And so being around those people, watching them smile, watching them enjoy the little things, like having an espresso with a neighbor every morning, sitting out on the porch and talking over a glass of wine, staring at the beautiful olive groves, a lot of walking.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful walking in the countryside. Mm-hmm. I think that's something I've definitely incorporated over the last 3 years that I probably took for granted more. It's like, oh, hit the gym and do CrossFit and run. And I think the most, for me, the most healthy thing any of us can do forever, because it's easy on your body, is walk, hike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3-4, you know, an hour, 3 or 4 miles,
yeah,
half hour, an hour. I think it's just so good for your body. And then you're getting the sun, vitamin D, you're connecting with nature. A lot of times I like to do a phone call while I'm walking. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that too. I mean, obviously I got sunburned I just didn't want to stop walking on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you get in a mode, and it is, it's almost like a meditation.
It's
an active meditation.
It's very, very meditation.
And I just like didn't realize I was walking like 2 miles and got so sunburned.
Yeah.
I just wasn't paying attention. But yeah, that is lifestyle wise, I think, a very overlooked thing.
Getting out in nature more, getting away from all the synthetic artificial light and TV and electromagnet stuff. And
yeah.
We're creatures of being outdoors, and we've taken so much of that away from us.
I know. Well, even just the negative ions that lowers inflammation, like the actual frequency of the earth is, the earth registers at a particular frequency, which is the same frequency as the human body.
Interesting.
But when you go out in space, the frequency changes. So astronauts will take a plant up there.
Really?
Just to synchronize with that energy so that they don't get like bone loss, osteoporosis, and all that stuff up there.
Yeah,
it helps
crazy.
With like the copper ions and stuff that keeps like your bones intact. It's so crazy how it's just energy.
Yeah.
But like if you bring something that holds that energy, that's why I think even like relics and things are so important, like a rosary for somebody or like your grandmother's locket of hair or whatever. It sounds silly or superstitious to people, but at the same time, it does carry a frequency. It carries an energy that can be a touchstone, just like a place or a restaurant or a hotel or Italy or whatever has patterns of behavior, and that energy gets infused into whatever that physical thing is or that place or that destination. So when you go to that thing and experience that energy, it's a touchstone, and you can match that energy and you can gain something new from that or change your health through that too.
Interesting. I believe that.
Yeah. So it is, energy is a very interesting thing.
Absolutely.
It's another thing that's overlooked with health. You know, everyone thinks it's just exercising or injecting peptides or, you know, all these other things. And sometimes it's when you pull away from that and just, you're just existing or just physically being around something that carries a healthy, happy energy.
Recharging.
Or a person who, you know, imbues something that's so just grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everything is basically an exchange of energy. I can see that.
Yeah.
We're like little conductors of energy walking around.
We are.
Negative and positive and negative. So.
Yeah, exactly. So what's one thing in you that you've always had or been that helps you in life? It could be a personality trait. It could be something that gives you an edge. It could be faith, a practice that you do. What's something that
I've always been an internal optimist. And I think, you know, I see positivity in potential in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even when I shouldn't. And and I think that keeps me going. And I'm really stubborn.
Yeah.
Thank you, grandparents.
Yeah.
my refusal to quit or back down when I'm really locked into something. So I think between being optimistic and stubborn, it makes for a good I can do, will do attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that carries over into a lot of my life as far as being an entrepreneur and other endeavors. So I feel lucky that way. I'm kind of hardwired that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's probably a combination of nature and nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some nature there that I'm defaulted that way.
Yeah.
And then the nurturing of just experiences that you have as a child growing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Oh, I like that. Is there any health-based fear that you have?
I think I'm an internal, I'm a little bit, probably a bit of a quiet hypochondriac.
Really?
I mean, I don't obsess about stuff, yeah. but I think because of all the media and stuff, you always yeah. wonder if I'm doing this right or doing that right. And mm-hmm. I think everybody is, you know, you have people around you that have failing health or cancer scares and things like that. And I think the media really exasperates that too. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to think, oh man, you get a little ache or pain here, and you're like, oh, I'm falling apart. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe I got cancer. Maybe I got yeah. this. Maybe I got that. So I don't obsess about it, but I yeah. think, and I kind of laugh about it sometimes, but I think it's a human condition
mm-hmm.
that, you know, as I'm getting older, I probably am more hyper aware of things than yeah. I wouldn't have been or took for granted 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's unfounded. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. yeah.
I think we're all guilty of doing that a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true, I know. Well, it is. It's health today, especially, is talked about so much. So it's hard to just kind of ignore and go about your life.
Yeah.
I feel like health was such like an afterthought. Not that that's a good thing, but in some ways, like, you know, when you think about like the 50s or the 60s and you don't have the media in the same way
yeah.
that's like infiltrating your brain about every little thing you're eating, every
yeah.
little thing you're doing, you know. So, it is. It's a different time.
Yeah, it's a lot of just, you know, information barrage coming at you. And
mm-hmm.
you're like, am I doing this right? Am I, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
And I will also say, you know, I think as we're younger, you take the little things for granted of like, oh, I threw my back out. I'm like, oh, my God. You forget how your back's involved in every little thing you do.
Yeah.
And then I am still happy, though, that I've been able to heal when I've had some, you know, bigger injuries pretty quickly. And
mm-hmm.
so I think I've become more hyper aware of stretching and
mm-hmm.
not just jumping into something full force without kind of, again, going back to the word intentional
right.
about what I'm doing. But I'm very thankful that I'm still healthy enough to bounce back very quickly when I do something stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That is good. What's one wish you had for your health?
I wish that I bounced back faster. I think as you get older, like, you know, working out and doing things, you're sore a little bit longer, a little bit
yeah.
more. I wish I bounced back a little quicker like I did when I was, you know, 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling, like, energetic all the time, I think. And that can be solved, I think, a lot of times. It's self-induced with
mm-hmm.
lack of sleep and other things. But
yeah.
Just feeling that pep when you wake out of, you get out of bed and you're like,
yeah,
let's tackle the day. And I definitely have days like that, but as I've gotten older, I've had less days like that. And again, I think some of it's self-induced.
Yeah, yeah.
but yeah, I think, you know, as getting older, and there's so much breakthrough now in technology and science, which is great, is kind of keeping that youthful hormonal balance that you
yeah.
had when you're like 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we're there now where, you know, it's still probably a little bit of a taboo subject.
Yeah.
But I think it's getting less and less and less, whether that's, you know, some kind of peptide therapy or
mm-hmm.
Hormone, you know, therapy, which I think is becoming more mainstream. So,
yeah.
And even something I'm open to exploring. I've had friends that have done it and they have kind of gone back to that vigor of being in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm jealous.
Yeah. Well,
coffee does help.
Coffee helps, yeah.
Momentarily.
I know. Well, I think that you in particular, because you have aged very well. So, but I think going back to the mental stuff, you're very good at letting go of things.
Yeah.
Even though you're stubborn, I think you're very good at being in the moment and,
yeah.
and playing
yeah.
and having more of a lightheartedness about life. And I think your approach to life is very healthy where you're like, you know what? You can, and I don't know if you learned that in San Diego when you lived there for a while, or if it's just, it's always been in you. I mean, you've always been very playful
yeah.
as a little kid. You
yeah.
know, you've been always playful. And I think having that childlike playfulness, even when it comes to business,
yeah,
like making deals on a tennis court, like
yeah.
you do things differently that I think expands your energy. And just viewing you, I think that's a very healthy way to be.
No, I appreciate that. I think.
Yeah.
As you're saying that, there probably is a you know, direct correlation between when we're talking about intent and mindset and,
mm-hmm.
and really stress is what breaks down the body, right? Inflammation
yeah.
and stress, and inflammation coming from stress and that mind intent. And I think you're right. I think if you're either predisposed or you build a lifestyle where you're more playful and positive, that you let those things go that might energetically sit. And we're
mm-hmm.
all guilty of doing it under extreme duress. I certainly
yeah.
have. But I do let things go really pretty easily. And I think it's because for me personally, my philosophy is, you know, a lot of illusion of control, mm-hmm. and it's very ego-based. And for me, I've learned very early on that you can't control most things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to be cliche, but, you know, the one thing you can control is your attitude and how you roll with the things that happen to you. And I think I've learned over time that whatever happens in the moment is actually a bit agnostic. At the time, it may take on a persona of, this is a bad thing that happened to me. And we mm-hmm. want to label something. This was bad. This yeah. hurts me. And I'm feeling negative about it. And then as time marches on and you get perspective, you go, oh my gosh, that wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
That was actually a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to where I'm at today, which is better than I was yesterday.
Yeah, right.
You know, unless it's something truly tragic, which does happen. But I think the vast majority of things in life we think is very tragic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's almost a narcissistic, ego-driven, oh, poor me, martyr, like this happened to me. And then once you get perspective on it, it's because we don't see the bigger picture.
Right.
You know, so for me, that's my mentality. My mentality is, this might be tough now, but mm-hmm. there's a reason for this, and there will be benefit. If you have the right attitude
yeah.
and march forward, there will be benefit. I think if you have a negative attitude when something happens to you that is perceived as negative, then you will march down a negative path. And it may then very well self-induce intent mm-hmm. of, this was a negative experience.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I know it's, you know, cliche, but I really think that attitude is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really big mindset and part of health.
Yeah. That
really
mental
do.
Resilience
yeah.
towards life. And I think there have been moments in my life where when there's more stress, it depletes your minerals and your vitamins
yeah.
and your nutrients.
So it's a physical, biological
yeah.
impact.
And that has affected my mentality or my outlook. I tend to be like more negative or more depressed or more down.
Yeah.
And I've noticed for me personally, taking supplements, like I could eat the best food all day long, but there's something with a supplement that is like highly charged in that specific energy field of, like, it could be a B vitamin or whatever
yeah.
it is that helps you with your mentality and your outlook and that mental resilience you're talking
yeah.
about. And vitamin D is one of those things too, because I think it's very protective of, you know, it's like a steroidal hormone mm-hmm. To a degree.
Yeah.
So it affects a lot of things with like mentality and just your overall outlook on life. It makes you a little bit more water off your back.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. It's funny. I was mm-hmm. reading an article this morning, speaking of the dopamine hit out of bed. It was an article I got in my inbox that was talking about the power of vitamin D.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So oh, that's interesting.
That up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot this week.
Yes. Well, I think that's a big part yeah. of living in a warmer climate and being at yeah. the beach is you tend to get a little bit more vitamin D than probably the average
that's true.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happier. Okay. Speaking of happy, that's so funny. I didn't even know this was the next question.
Set up.
Happiness. How important do you think that is for your health?
Extremely.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10 and 11. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I think happiness is fleeting.
Yeah.
And I think, as human beings, we get caught in, well, I got to be happy, I got to be happy. You don't have to be happy all the time.
Yeah.
And I think happiness is a moving barometer, depending on where you're at. You know, mm-hmm. I bought a new car, I'm happy for mm-hmm. a moment. And then your mind levels, and all of a sudden you're chasing the next thing. So mm-hmm. as long as happiness it's more linked to contentment than dopamine hits.
Right.
I think that context of happiness is everything. And I think when you're happy, you're in that positive mind frame,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're producing that positive energy in your body that then connects on a cellular level
mm-hmm.
and radiates through your entire body. And I think, you know, our bodies obviously are a collection of billions or trillions of cells
mm-hmm.
and they kind of react towards our energy. We're
right.
energetic beings. That's
mm-hmm.
what, you know, we, especially from an emotional, we're really driven by emotion as our fuel
yeah.
for the body. So I think happiness is very important.
Yeah.
I would almost say contentment happiness is
yeah.
on a very similar scale.
Yeah, exactly. I guess contentment would be like
connectivity, feeling like you're contributing. Mm-hmm. I don't mean, you know, you're so content you're sitting on a sofa doing nothing all day.
Yeah.
But feeling good about who you are. You're not internally beating yourself up
mm-hmm.
about the things you should be doing or didn't do.
Yeah.
It's being more present, I think. It's
mm-hmm.
not ruminating on the past. It's not worrying about the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying I'm here present and I'm appreciating this day and I have gratitude for the
mm-hmm.
things in my life.
Yeah.
Which then leads to happiness, I think.
It is interesting that you said, like, love and gratitude are the two highest frequencies when it comes to measuring symmetry. And symmetry is always a sign of health, where like the cells, the cellular structure, the molecules, if it's structured like a pretty snowflake, that symmetry of that energy.
I've seen those photos. Yeah, that's really wild.
Yeah, so with water, if you send the intention of love and gratitude, that was the most, the highest ratio of symmetry was that. So they say like as a result, that's like one of the highest frequencies that you can pull into your body if you're like praying or meditating or eating a meal or whatever it is, like the love and the gratitude.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably a layer of contentment in there, you know, or happiness in there that's woven into the love and gratitude.
I think gratitude and contentment are close, you know, because I think when you give gratitude, there is a sense of contentment that follows with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it the cart, you know, the cart and horse? I'm not 100% sure on that, but.
Yeah. Well, I think if I'm anxious or fearful, I'll try to like close my eyes and just take some deep breaths and try to feel love and gratitude. Like, what would that feel like if I felt love and gratitude right now? And it feels like warm and graceful and calming and grounding and rooted. It's almost like a mother energy coming in.
Yeah.
That's very, it resets or reframes my mentality. So I think it's something that can be an anchor.
Yeah.
For a lot of things. Like, okay, I can get through this. You know, it's almost like having a pep talk with a parent or something.
Yeah.
That's like, you can do this. You can get through it, you know. So how important do you think environment is for your well-being or your health? Okay. So what's something in, it could be your house or your, that's all the time we have for today. I'm kidding.
And thank you.
Yeah.
If you'd like to read more on beliefs as it relates to health, you can order a copy of Manicure Magazine, my new health and lifestyle publication, to be delivered straight to your door. Go to www.manicuremagazine.com/order for your copy. I hope you enjoyed the show.